and just a radical man of God with us tonight, Dr. Brian Adams. Sir, would you come? And give us the word of God tonight, brother. Hold your hand out. Let's bless him tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless missionary evangelist Dr. Brian Adams tonight. Father, I thank you. Oh, Father, bless their church in Jackson, Ohio. Also, Father, bless him tonight as he ministers the word of God. I just release to him a you don't have a choice anointing of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no way out. There's no way out. You just got to go straight ahead in the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Father. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, give him a good hand clap of welcome.
Come on, give Jesus a praise. Lord, we praise you. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. You are the teacher. We can't do it without you. Amen. We welcome you. You may be seated. As they were sharing about the people going out witnessing, getting people saved, a thought went through my mind that the greatest miracle is salvation. So these aren't just soul winners. These are miracle workers. Did you hear me? The greatest miracle. You can get out of a wheelchair. You can have blind eyes open. But if you don't get saved, you're just going to see yourself burning in hell. Do I have anybody in here that's not going to hell tonight? Come on. Is anybody? Are you glad? Lord, if you heard that poor response, I'm in Texas where I thought everything was big. Let me say it again. If you're glad you're not going to hell, let me hear it. My Lord, my Lord. I think sometimes we get so busy with today's problems that we forgot about yesterday's salvation. Did somebody hear me? No matter how bad it is, it's not as bad as a person that's going to hell. And as I was sitting there listening to the man, and did you notice when he started out and the anointing hit him, he just started preaching. I like that. I love seeing the anointing get on people. But my son is a fisherman. He loves to fish. And when I walk in his office, he's on the staff at our church, when I walk in his office, he's got this huge bass on his wall. And this bass mocks me because he always reminds me that I haven't caught one bigger than him. So I told him, I will outdo you. And we have a competition going. And one of the guys at our other church in West Virginia, he is like a guide. He takes people deer hunting. He takes them fishing. And he guarantees that you'll get something when you go. He said, hey, I hear you got a competition with your son. He said, call me. I'll take you to a place. I guarantee you, you'll catch a fish bigger than him. But my time management is so bad, I never call him. I have time. I just haven't made time. So I could have caught a fish bigger than him. He's even a skilled person. I don't know if anybody's catching what I'm preaching here or not. Some of you just haven't made the time to go with these skilled fishermen. Come on, somebody. And you could catch the big one. The day you go out could be the day the next Billy Graham or the next Oral Roberts or the next person that you're just waiting to do. So I just want to encourage you, because once you taste and smell pulling a soul from the flames of hell and feel that wonderful feeling, you'll never want to do anything else, but it is so wonderful. Isn't God good? But I will catch one bigger than him and have it mounted on my wall too, but eventually. Pray for my time management. I want to talk about a message today called the separation process, because there is a process. How many people know that even once you get born again, you have to go through a process? A lot of people will come up and they'll see miracles happening in the ministry. They'll see crowds coming to the altar. They'll say, I want your anointing. A lot of places I'll go and I'll say, well, first of all, I'm not done with it. And second of all, it just doesn't come. There is an impartation, but you're going to go through the times that I didn't eat. You're going to go through the 40-day fast, the 21-day fast. You're going to go through the times where you thought all of hell was against you, none of your church was with you. Come on, somebody. There's processes that you have to go through because the anointing doesn't come to sissies. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching the reality gospel. It's going to hurt. Jesus paid the price, but you've got to pay the price and you've got to work it. But one of the things you got to do is you got to change your mind. And so I want to start tonight is talking about the separation process, is you've got to understand what God feels about you, and then you've got to get in agreement with what God feels about you. I'll walk up to people and say, you know, God thinks you're awesome. And they'll look down and they won't give me eye contact. And automatically, I know right off the bat, it doesn't even have to be by the spirit. It can just be by body language. I can see right off the bat that people don't think as good about themselves as what God thinks about them. And if you don't feel good about yourself, don't get mad if somebody else doesn't feel good about yourself. If you don't know who you are, quit getting frustrated because somebody else doesn't know who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've got to get rid of this sin consciousness and this condemnation upon us, because as long as you feel you're not good enough to go soul winning, you'll never go soul winning. As long as you don't feel you're good enough to do anything, you just won't step out and you'll be a person that sits all the time. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Let's start in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, first of all, I want you to pay attention that when God looked and saw it was dark, he didn't say, golly gee, it sure is dark. What are we going to do, man? There's a blackout. It's devastated. It's bad. No, he said, let there be. And he began the separation process in the very beginning, and he called light out of darkness. But if you see that everything that God created, he then looked and he said, it is good. So if God created you, and then on top of it, you became born again, how can you look in the mirror and degrade yourself, feel bad about yourself? Because Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they agree? So if you're wondering why it seems like you're separated from God, it's because you're not in agreement with him, because you're not thinking like he thinks. He said you're good, so you shouldn't condemn yourself. Does anybody catch what I'm saying? I remember when God opened the door and gave us an awesome opportunity to be on a special television program that goes all over the world, and people called us for weeks on end at all hours of the night. And the majority of the calls that came, people, their main complaint was they didn't feel that God loved them, because they just, I don't know if they just never been preached the true gospel, that God is a good God and that God loves you and that you are important. You're created in his image. So if you're junk, you're saying that God's junk. Now, there's a fine line. I'm not talking about being arrogant, you know. You can be the bag of chips in the chip factory. Come on, somebody. If God says you're good, I want you to go home tonight, look in the mirror, and you're getting ready to go to bed, just kind of push your hair aside, look up and say, you're right, Pastor Brian, it's good. Come on. The Bible tells us to exhort one another daily. We need to be some cheerleading going on to the house of God, telling people, come on, don't quit now. I like what Pastor Bob says. Don't quit on your first day. Don't quit on your worst day. We don't quit. If there's only five sheep, then we're going to feed five sheep. If there's one sheep, we're going to feed one sheep. We're not going to quit, because that vocabulary is not in a believer's mentality, or should not be. Come on, somebody. Don't panic. Give God some praise on that. You are not a quitter if you're in this house. My wife still has those little pages that said, don't quit. She sticks them all over her office. She'll never forget that. In the beginning, God looked and he saw it was dark, and he said, let there be light. I want you to know that when God looked at you, he saw me laying in the alley, puke all over me, tripping on acid, all these chemicals going through me, Jack Daniels, vomit all over me. I was a mess. And the angels or anybody else looked at me and would have said, this boy is a mess. There's nothing good. Why waste your time? And God looked at all that darkness. He looked at all that darkness. He said, let there be light. Come on, somebody. See, we need to begin to look through the eyes of Jesus, because Jesus looked through the eyes of my mother. I don't know if you caught that or not. I had a praying mother that introduced me to the man from Galilee. And she looked at me and she said, that's my baby. He's awesome and he's important. I could come home stoned. She'd smell it on me. She'd smell the alcohol on me. And all she would say was, are you hungry, baby? Because see, she didn't see. If you see people as they are, you will burn out, you'll lose hope, and you'll quit. You've got to have faith. Come on, somebody. You got to see them and call things that be not as though they are. So when one of my daughters was a mess, I said, let there be light. I call the goodness out of her. I call every gospel seed I've ever preached, every time I've ever laid hands on her, I call it into coming being. Because see, he's a creator, my daddy. I'm his kid. I'm a creator junior. Girls, you're a creator junior at. Come on, somebody. And you need to begin to use your power of words for good and begin to speak. You see, he is, here's what I like, he's the high priest of our confession. Are you giving him anything to work with? Come on, somebody. He's the high priest of our confession. So what he's trying to tell us by that scripture is you've got to get in agreement with what the Word of God says. Never say anything about yourself that negates the Word of God about what God says about you. God says, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you don't like me, it don't matter. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. That means there's nobody bigger or badder that can take me out as long as I do what God says. Can I get an amen? I'm here tonight to tell you that there's a process that we have to go to, because there's two kingdoms. Right now, while you're sitting here, there is a spiritual realm parallel with where you're sitting. You might be thinking about your headache. You might be thinking about getting clothes ready for the kids tomorrow for school. You might be thinking about, is the place going to be open tonight? Is it going to be long-winded? Can I get a cheeseburger when I go home? You might be having all these thoughts going through your head, but I want you to know that right now in this room, there are more for you than there is against you. Can I get an amen? And here's what's awesome. Even if there was more in this room against me than there was for me, greater is he that's in me. Oh, come on, somebody. You need to be able to preach yourself happy. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Someone told me the other day, you're just too happy. You laugh too much. And they just said, nobody can be that happy. I said, you need to get saved. There's too many people going around acting like they're drinking lemonade straight from the lemon. And you know, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, not pickle juice. Come on, somebody. You need to be on fire by God, believing that he will use you. If you'll provide the hands, he'll provide the miracles. Come on, somebody. If you'll provide the mouth, he'll provide the witnessing. He'll speak through you. If you didn't see when that awesome young man stood up here and talked with him, he started off talking and all of a sudden God just took over. I mean, his countenance changed. That's what God will do to you when you get on the street. That's what God will do when you begin to witness. You'll be afraid. You'll be shaken because he said, in your weakness, he'll be made strong. Wait a minute. I got to tell you something. That's a law of the universe. If you don't surrender your weakness to God, the devil will take that weakness. Did you hear me? The spirit realm is looking for the weakness of the human beings so it can be exploited. So you got to make a decision today, ladies and gentlemen. Are you going to surrender yourself and submit yourself to God and resist Satan? Or are you going to resist God and submit to Satan? When he's called every one of us to spiritually procreate. Oh, it just got quiet in here. Some of you made a decision not to have kids. I'm talking spiritually now. You've made a decision not to go out into prayer. You can't make that decision. The spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells inside you, and he wants out. He wants to flow through you. You'll never, ever have as much fun as when you let the Holy Ghost speak through you. Oh, Lord, right now I can feel the power of God flowing through me. I got cotton mouth, munchies, and everything else. If I had a Mountain Dew and a Twinkie, glory, I have God. It's better than any drug I've ever done on earth. His word quickens my mortal flesh. It works inside me. He's got me excited. I'm on the road to make devils homeless, to get people saved, and to see that miracles will happen. The blind eyes are open. The deaf ears, yes, the deaf ears still open. Yes, the blind eyes still open. Yes, people still get out of wheelchairs. Why? Because he did it 2,000 years ago. It's already been released, so it's no longer a matter if it be thy will. It's a matter if you will surrender your will to him. He loves you. You're awesome. But there's two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of God and there's a kingdom of darkness. There's the spirit of truth and there's the spirit of error. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, Now, this one really describes me, a peculiar people. You should show forth the praises of him who has called you, listen to this, who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Every single one of us, no matter what your rank is in the kingdom, you were in darkness. And he began the separation process. When somebody interceded for you, he began to say, come forth. You may not have even heard. I can remember when I was in the United States Marine Corps, we was doing cold weather training camp at Pickle Meadows, cold weather training camp in California, getting ready to go to Norway. And I was stole a Jeep, drove to the top of a mountain. That's right, stole a Jeep. I took it back to him. It was just a 24-hour steal. I stole the Jeep, drove to the top, was sitting there smoking a joint, laced with cocaine in the Marine Corps, looking at the beautiful mountains of God, and I was saying, God, this is beautiful. And I would have 45-minute to an hour conversations with God while I was getting high. Now, you might think I'm crazy, but let me share something with you. He came in my darkness, and he quartered me. He didn't think twice of coming in the bar. He didn't think twice of coming in the prostitute house in Hong Kong, Kaohsiung, Taiwan, or the Philippines. He would come in and begin to convict me. He would begin to bring in remembrance things my mom had taught me about the Bible. And I just knew I probably shouldn't be doing this. And I even felt like my mother was in the room or something. Oh, Lord, I can't have my mama here. And the reason it felt like it was my mama, because when she was talking, it was him speaking through her. He's called you out of darkness. And the darkness is not done, the work. There's still going to be some darkness here. And you have some bitterness, some unforgiveness, and different things in your life. But when you come to the house of God, and the seed of God is preached and put to you, and when the praise team stands up and says, sing this song, when they sing, and when the preacher preaches, when they give the altar call, they're saying, come out of darkness. Come on, somebody. I don't go hang out in the bars. Oh, by the way, let me share something. This summer, 29 years drug and alcohol free by Jesus only. Come on. 29 years. I'm not a recovering anything. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. This brother's free. But I'm not going to go sit in the bar and drink water while I'm trying to witness everybody and hang out there and make that my hangout. I'm not going to go to the drug dealers and sit there and just hang out, because be my luck, they'd do a drug raid at the same time. There'd be my name all over the papers. Hallelujah. But he sends me as a special force from the light back into the darkness. I'm going to give you scripture for that. First, let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? I beg you, as your brother in Christ, don't allow a wrong message to cause you to believe that grace is a permission to sin. It's the power to break sin in your life, not the permission for you to be in sin. Amen? Don't be unequally yoked with darkness. There's a season. We go as special assignments. When you go witnessing, when you go to work in different places, you put on the full armor of God. You dress properly. You act properly. When they begin to cuss, I would get up and leave the break room. When they begin to tell dirty jokes, I didn't sit there and laugh at them and think, well, maybe I'll win them to know, because I tell you what, leaven will leaven the whole lump. I protect myself. When I go to motels as I'm driving on the road, I'll throw a towel over top of the TV. And I'll pray, God, I remit every sin that's been committed in this room. Now let's make this room so anointed that when the cleaners come in, they're convicted. They want to get saved. I leave books laying, my Bible laying out, books laying out. And before I know it, my goal is to get the cleaning staff saved. I want to see America cleaned up, so I'm going to start with the cleaning staff. How about that? Come on. The last time I was here, I was suffering for Jesus across the road in the motel in the hot tub. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And four Hispanic young kids came out and got in there. Before you know it, they were all saved. And I was baptizing them in the hot tub in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. They weren't expecting that when they came out to sit with the fat white guy. Come on, I'm telling you. They didn't know what God had in store. But they were hugging and crying and saying, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. that you cared enough. I'd rather you get mad at me here on earth, ladies and gentlemen, than be burning in hell and be mad at me and say, why didn't you tell me? Let the darkness be summoned from you. Let me give you a perfect example. I think it's a beautiful prophetic picture of being born again. Lazarus was dead. You're dead in your sins and your trespasses. And Jesus says, Lazarus. You remember that Carmen song? Oh, that used to tear me up. Lazarus, come forth. And he did. But he still had the grave clothes wrapped around him. And now you and I, as we begin to disciple people, we call the likeness out of them. We begin to give them a picture, an example of what's right and what's wrong. When someone really bugs you, when stuff inside them seems to get you, don't get mad at them and say, I saw one guy one time, he said, that person's got so much rejection in them, I'm not going to pet their devil. I said, so you're going to reject the person with rejection. That's really setting them free. Come on, somebody. I said, actually, if they bug you that much, you're probably assigned to help them. You're probably, they might have something in them that's going to get you set free. Or even worse, what you see in them is what you haven't conquered in your life. What communion does light have with darkness? Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 through 11. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in this body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, which is also another translation called the kingdom of light. There is a kingdom of darkness and there is a kingdom of light. Allow the light to be summoned out of you. It might be summoned to you through a prophecy. It might be summoned to you through someone reading the word over you or just praying over you. Someone gives you an exhortation. Don't quit, because see, darkness quits, but light continues. If someone exhorts you and says, don't quit, they just summons the light out of you, the light of Jesus. He never quit. What if he would have quit on his way when they got someone else to help carry his cross? What if he said, no, that's it. I'm not going to do this. I'm so glad that Jesus wasn't a quitter. How about you? You can't quit, ladies and gentlemen. If you're sitting here tonight and you're about to give up, I want to tell you, whatever it takes, I will be there. I know there's people that will be there for you. Don't quit, because you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. I summons the light out of you of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call it out. I begin and initiate the separation process. Oh, did I mention you're in charge of your insanity? Did I mention you're in charge of your depression? Do you want to keep it or do you want to get rid of it? You're in charge of it. You're the landlord of this temple. Do you want your light to shine? Then you are in charge of allowing people coming under. Submission means taking your mission in life that God has given you, and like a submarine, bringing it underneath someone else's mission, the church, the pastor. The centurion said, I'm a man under authority, therefore I have people underneath me. That's allowing your light to be summons. I was sitting reading a book last night, 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, by E.W. Kenyon. I like his writings. He's just powerful. And I was reading it, And he had prayed a prayer. So I was just like, I'm going to pray this prayer. And when I did, the power of God dropped in my room. Next thing you know, my head's in the trash can. I'm gagging and coughing. The power of God's, I'm weeping and crying. And I'm just like, oh my goodness. I look up and an hour or so had gone by and I'm covered with sweat. And God's presence had been there. And I heard him speak. He rebuked me. He corrected me. He slammed me on the ground. Oh man, he dropped me. It was like a big time wrestling match. Oh, by the time it was done, he was the champion in my life. Oh, come on, somebody. You might go home at night and plug yourself in and glow. I don't. I have weird things happening to me. But God was champion of my life, and I said, thank you for correcting me. God corrects those he loves. And what is he correcting? He's correcting the darkness that still exists in us, the way of doing things of the world, the way of doing things that doesn't line up to agree with the Word of God. I want to change. I want to be like him. I want to see him. It was so refreshing. It was so refreshing after the deliverance that happened in that room last night that I got up and I emailed my wife, I'm coming home a better man. I know she'll respond to that one. I'm coming home a better, because see, I'm crying out to God, show me what's in me that keeps me from being a good husband. Show me what's in me that keeps me from being a good son to you. Show me what's in me that keeps me from being a good leader in the church. God, if this is a finished product, then I'm not satisfied, God. I know that there's more. The motto of our church is because there's more. I know there's more. I know there's greater. They said in one place in the Bible, it said, and they limited the God of Israel. I don't want to limit him. I want him to have his free course through me. Because if what he's done through me already, if the Bible says there's more, he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above, then come, Lord, and let the separation process continue in my life. Take the darkness from me, Lord. If it means taking the slang, if it means taking stuff of the street out of me, then purge it from me. Take the coal and place it to my lips. Because how I'm perceived determines if I'm received. I come from the street, and it's funny how God corrected me, said, you know, he said that like he was proud of it. And I said, well, God, you know nothing wants to be something. I'll just let that sink. Can I get an amen? I said, nothing wants to be something. And I came from the street, so when I got saved, riding motorcycles, leather jackets, I wouldn't witness. I said, I'm called to the people from the street, to the druggies, to the prostitutes, to the people in leather and chains. I'm called to those people. One day I was sitting in a restaurant, and two lawyers or bankers, I don't know, they had suits on. I'd just call them suits. These two suits come walking in. They sit down. I'm like, look at them high classers, and they think they're better than me. I'm supposed to be saved. There was still darkness, wasn't there? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and he said, son, do you know who I can get to witness to them? And I looked around, and I started to say no, and all of a sudden I realized he was making a point that I had limited the God of Israel. God, I'll allow you to do this through me, but I won't allow you to do this. My testimony was, I was a high school dropout, and God saw my foolishness. He saw my drug addiction. He saw my stupidity. And he said, I would joke and say, an angel would go back and say, if you do something in this guy's life, it'll prove to earth that there is a God. And I'd make a joke about it. But one day God said, won't you quit giving credit to what Satan kept you from doing? And won't you start doing something in my name? So I said, I would tell everybody, if I wasn't called to be a preacher, I would go back to school and get education. And one day God said, what's stopping you? Why can't I have an educated preacher to use? I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm wearing you out or you're wearing me out. Who do you think's going to win? That's when I began to study, night after night, till 1 or 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I went from a high school dropout, and about 10 years later, have a doctorate. Come on, somebody, give Jesus Christ. So now I just don't say what the devil did. I said, once I was taken out of darkness, God has done something in my life. Some people say, oh, you don't need, no, I'm just Brian. I'm still Brian. I still love. I still get upset. I still fight all the darkness that you fight, and I have to resist it. I have to take up the cross daily. But I've got a testimony that no matter what you say, it's my story. And my story reaches into people's hearts that's ready to quit. They're wondering why things aren't happening in their life. It's first of all, you got to love yourself. Did you hear me? You got to love yourself. And all those calls when I was on Sidroth, all those calls that came in, everybody's like, I just don't feel God loves me. And I said, well, if you don't feel God loves you, I'll bet you don't love yourself. And there would be silence or they'd be weeping and crying. I want to know you. You've got to cry out to God and say, give me a love for you that'll make me obey you. Because love obeys. Then you cry, God, give me a love for me. Because you're to love one another as you love yourself. A person that hates himself can't treat me very good. There's some people I run from when I see them. Because I know they're going to abuse me. Because they abuse themselves. So I begin to cry, give me love for myself. And my natural mind thought, that's egotistical. That's arrogance. And God says, my kingdom doesn't work the way the dark kingdom that you're used to being in works. My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. They're higher than yours. Now, of all the kids my mom had, I love me the best. Come on, somebody. But if I don't, I'm the baby of the family, and now I pastor my sisters. My mom died this January, and I used to pastor her. She's the one that introduced me to Jesus. It's funny how the baby ended up pastoring her. And now my sisters look to me, brother, can you help me? The one used to change my diaper. She left my church for a season. She said, I used to change your diaper. I used to tell you what to do. Now you're telling me what to do. And I just told her, I looked, I said, repent. She said, it can't be that easy. I said, it really is. Just repent. Because I love you like a mom. She said, will you love me unconditionally? You know what I like about this church? This awesome couple? They loved me when I wasn't okay. That's what's so cool about Jesus. It's okay to not be okay. But if you just come hang with him, by the time the party's over. Oh, did you catch what I said? That was the Brian Adams translation. By the time the party's over, whoo, the munchies are great. The glory is good. The miracles are phenomenal. The souls are saved. And you walk away knowing that he's Lord, but you feel good about yourself. Without confidence, you'll never try to obtain anything. Because see, when your summons and the process, the separation process of taking darkness out of you, because I'll guarantee you that there's people sitting here right now that it happened to you like me. My one sister, who now I'm always helping, she was the one that the devil used to say, you're nothing, you're nobody, you'll never be married, you'll never be loved, you're stupid, you're ugly. And I mean, I was being programmed for darkness. Darkness would be putting in. I was programmed, for, like the pastor said, for failure. I was programmed to have so much rejection that I could never stand before people. There are no second class citizens.
Amen.
No matter if you come from old money, you come from new money, or like me, you come from no money. I remember when I got saved, I'd read about all the great generals and all the people. I said, God, give me the gift of faith. I didn't know that means I'd be broke all the time. Because faith is not having but believing. Oh, you need to study that out. Do you have money? My wife will say, do you have money for Pakistan in January? I said, yes, I do. She said, I don't see it in the account. I said, I have it. And I'll never say that I don't. And I just got a phone call, said it just got deposited. Come on, somebody. Pakistan's going to get messed up. Come on. Woo. Every assignment that he gives me, it seems like it's never there. But when I never take my eyes off of him and I speak it, because the darkness of doubt, the darkness of unbelief has been taken out. And he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Someone said to me the other day, but I can't do this, Brian. I said, what scripture are you standing on? Next time someone slaps you with some doubt, say, what scripture are you standing on? They'll be like, Say, we need to pray for that stuttering there. If you want to be successful in the kingdom, you must have your feet standing on the foundation of the Word of God. The Word must be able to flow through you, in you, out you. It is life. It is health to your bones. You must be able to do all things through Christ. He has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Behold, I've been given power to tread over serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. So why should I be afraid to go to Pakistan? If I die, I just get promoted. My insurance policy is so big, my wife will have a real party. So I haven't disrespected or done my family wrong. If I do what God calls me to do and believe that he thinks I can do it, then I'm going to get agreement with him, because how can two walk together unless I agree? I will not be guilty of the sin of limiting the God of Israel. Come on, somebody. Some people don't believe the dead can be raised. So now their faith comes down here. Some people don't believe that God heals anymore. Now their faith comes down here. And the most they believe that is you can get saved, but you never be freed from the power of sin. That would be miserable. I was on a plane going to Africa, 34,000 feet in the air, and a woman died right in front of the bathroom. I didn't hear it. I'm busy. I got my earphones in. I'm listening to Rick Pino, I think it was. He was jamming. And I was sitting there, oh, yeah. Some lady grabs my arm and says, get back here and help. I'm like, I don't have no name tag. Why are you asking me? I turn around. There's a lady laying on the thing. There's a doctor there. I go back, and I say, what's the matter? And he goes, I'm a doctor. She's dead. Of course, I've been a first responder, military, law enforcement. I check for a pulse. She's dead. He says, help me carry her back to the thing. And all of a sudden, my mouth said, get back in your body. And she stood up. Come on, somebody. Don't tell me he don't raise the dead. In Costa Rica, an 80-some-year-old evangelist fell down dead at the end of a beautiful miracle meeting. The first thing I thought was, you're ruining my miracle meeting. And I had to first repent of that. They did CPR for 45 minutes, no response. Then they looked at me, and the first thing I said was, American CPR is not no better than Costa Rican CPR. I was in the flesh. And I thought it was so funny, because I'd literally just got recertified, because we did all of our teachers in our church. So I did it too. So I get down, I thought, okay, I'll do CPR. And I look at it, I'm thinking, give me one of them plastic things. I don't like wrapping my lips on someone else, you know, a guy, you know. Come on, you'd be thinking the same thing. You know? I know I should have been worried about him being dead, right? This darkness coming out of me. As I started to do it, all of a sudden, I heard myself say, get back in your body. The Holy Ghost said that twice. He opens his eyes and says, is there any fish left? I gave him mine because I was like, I about died. I didn't feel no power surge. My hands didn't get hot. I didn't feel anything supernatural. But I was just dumb enough to let God use me. Does that make sense? I didn't reason. I'll be honest with you. I even thought, if he doesn't get up, then I just won't come back to this country. It's not like it's in my home church. Lord, just don't let no one die in my home church. First time I went to Africa, they had this sign in African language. It's a beautiful sign, had my picture. I thought, that's probably the first time I've ever seen a picture that actually looked good at me. You know, there was no gray in it. It looked slim. I'm like, I like that. I'm taking that home. And, but I didn't know what it said. I said, what does it say? He says, you will raise every dead person, every wheelchair person. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm running. I'm hiding. Because I didn't have the faith for that. That was back then. But now I got a revelation. If I let him use my hands, he'll do the healing. If I let him use my mouth, he'll speak the words. I found out that if I let him through fasting and prayer do the separation of taking the darkness out of me. He's a holy God. Do you believe he's a holy God? Let me close with just this awesome explanation of my holy God, our holy God. He knew you wasn't holy, so he came up with this, you must be born again. And then he said, I'm a holy God. You don't even have nothing holy to bring to me as an offering. So the tithe is holy. So he gave us a holy offering to bring to him, to the holy God. And then he said, your language has been perverted. You've lied, you've seduced, you've conned, you've rose up in anger. So I'm going to give you a holy language to talk to him. I'll give you a holy offering. I'll give you a holy language. I'll give your spirit, even though born again, it's still not sufficient. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. Now, allow the separation process for the darkness to come out so that as we carry his holy language, his Holy Spirit, and bring his holy tithe, we walk as a holy people. The TV cameras have gone on too many people that have not chosen to allow the separation process to happen to where the holy and the profane have to be separated. My desire as a fivefold minister is to see the fear of the Lord come back to the house of God. And it will never come back to God's house until it comes back to the ministers. That's why every chance I get to get around this man of God. And tonight before I leave, I desire that you lay hands on me again, because there's an impartation of just the spirit that's on him. Because I have to cry out. Because I'll tell you, my flesh wants to live. A living sacrifice wants to crawl off of the altar. I'm one decision away from getting high again. Come on, somebody. I'm one decision when I'm on the road to sin against my wife. Come on. I don't care who you are or what. The devil will give you an opportunity. But before the storm comes, I've already made the decision. I won't sin against my God. I won't sin against my wife. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to sin against my God. He is his tithe. I will bring him an old holy offering. So therefore, the rest of what I got left, the 100%, not the 90, because the 10 was never mine. So the 100% I have left now becomes holy. So now my offerings are presentable. He's trying to set up a way that once again, like in the garden, there could be a holy God with a holy son and a holy daughter. And when we walk in peace, in righteousness, in joy, I said, you are the righteousness of God. I'm telling the devil to shut up. The devil's talking to people saying that you're condemned, that you're not righteous, that you're just a sinner, and you're really not saved. Devil, listen to me. You know who I am. Shut up. I speak on behalf of the Most High. Shut up and loose these people now in Jesus' name. And as the separation process happens, and you see, the darkness has a voice, and he's calling you. Come on back. Come on back. Just one cigarette. Just one joint. You're out of town. A little bit of cocaine. You saw the look that girl gave you in the elevator. Shut up, darkness. Spirit of harlotry, get out of here. I bind and break your power. Just start quoting scripture left and right, and they'll take off running. Amen. That voice cannot stand the word, because the word. Jesus made not a private display of the devil, but he made a public display. Come on. I said a public display. So if he made a public display of the enemy, I want to encourage you to see him eternally defeated. So what's standing in your way? Here's what's standing in our way. We reason. The soul wants details, but faith is blind. We live by reasoning and by our senses, but God says live by faith. Faith doesn't feel, has no feelings. Here's what I like. Faith can't be offended. When faith is working in you, fueled by God's holy love, he even gave you a holy faith and a holy love. He gave us a whole bunch of holy stuff. We can't contaminate it. So we have to have the separation process. You know, some people think you have to be perfected to be used by God. Man, because of what my sisters did to me, and they say, you're nothing, you're nobody, I have fought rejection all my life. Then tried to act big and bad so no one knew I was rejected. I don't care what you think. You know what God used to get the last layer of rejection out of my life? That every time I'd walk in this place, you looked me in the eyes. And you guys would smile. I felt so welcome. Pastor Bob would treat me so good. If I could be 15 hours from Texas, I'd go by way of Omaha. I'm going to Texas, babe. I just got to thank you for being the awesome people that you are. There's a feeling going on right now. And I told you, your pillars in the house of God. There's a great reward coming to you. There's a great reward coming to you. There's a great reward coming to you. Your smile, your look, your touch, your acceptance. There's a pouring going on right now. There's a pouring going on right now. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You'll laugh at the warfare. You'll laugh at the tsunami that comes from the devil. And you'll say, peace, be still. Peace, 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 peace. Be still. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your acceptance. Acceptance is big in Texas. Sir, in the spirit, you ever see them outdoor wildlife magazines? You know what I'm talking about? I see all you guys that's doing this outreach. I see Heaven printing a magazine showing Angler of the Month. I just want to commend you and exhort you. Can I pray for you? I just want to tell you that you're awesome. In the fullness of time, God's got such awesome things for you and your missus. Just put your hands up, man. Opportunities, and I see seas of souls that have been programmed and calibrated to the sound of your voice. Thank you for going out. Thank you for not being afraid. Thank you, sir. For just being you. Okay? Thank you for being you, man. I love you. Give him a big God bless. Pastor Bob and Pastor Joy, I just got to thank you because of all the teaching and all the stuff you put in Pastor Dave. He's taking that same stuff and he's taken me to the woodshed so many times and he goes, if I'll do something wrong, I'll say, this isn't acceptable. Pastor Bob said, we need to do it like this. And I'd be like, well, Pastor Bob says it, and you say it, I'll do it. And he controlled me to preaching to millions. He controlled me to being an author of a book, and my wife and I just got an opportunity to host TCT, which goes to 70 million people. And at the end of every program, when I'm saying, I'm going to throw the net, I want you to accept Jesus, in my heart, I'm just saying, Pastor Bob,
this is your fault.
You trained Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave was training me. I was talking to Pastor Dave today, and he said, he treats you better than he treats me. I said, you're the child, I'm the grandchild. Just a mountain of stress off of you. Just a mountain of stress off you. Just a mountain of stress off you. Just a mountain of stress. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. If you can relate to this message, you know there's some darkness in there, and you've even felt times when God's been trying to do the separation process, when ministers and other people have tried to bring something, you know, your blind spots, you don't want to acknowledge them, no, I don't do that, and they've tried to do the separation process, and you've resisted it or rejected it, but you got to admit, come on, be honest, just like me, we ain't there yet. Pull out the ticket in your pocket and say, oh, Lord, long way to go. Don't stop the train yet, Jesus. Don't stop. You left me on the cliff. Say, I want to come and I want to stand before the throne of heaven and say, I surrender to the separation process. I'm going to allow it. Come on, don't even hesitate. We don't need to get fancy with the altar call. Just come down to the front. Come on. Just come down. Let God begin to do the separation process. Take it up, brother. Come on. You know who you are. It's every born-again believer. So just saying, Lord, I allow the separation process.
Speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit.
And when you get there, just put your hands up. Begin to talk to Him. By faith, begin to talk to the Spirit of God and just say, Lord, begin the separation process. I want the rest of the darkness out of me. My ushers, I'll start left or right. Such beautiful people.
Speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit. Here I am. I'm open. Speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way.
Bless Him, Lord. Give Him more.
Speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit.
You're getting ready to go up. You're getting ready to go up. You're getting ready to go for another promotion. Come on. God's taking up another level of the Spirit. Get ready. And when it comes, don't be afraid of it. Just say, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. Say, do the separation process now.
Holy Spirit.
Bam!
Come and have your way.
Oh, look at this beautiful baby. Bless Him, Lord. Separation process.
Move, oh, move. Holy Spirit.
Bless you. Bless you.
Here I am.
Oh, give Him a whole bunch,
I'm
Lord.
Open.
Bless that. He's awesome. Bless Him. Bless. Don't scare me.
Holy Spirit.
I was like, whoa. Oh, bless the little baby.
And have your way.
Separation process, Lord. Oh.
Heal,
oh, you want it.
Heal, Holy
Bless Him, Lord.
Spirit. Here I am. I'm
oh, you're draining me dry. Pulling it out. Pulling it out. Pulling it out. Pulling it out. Ah, bam!
Speak, oh, speak, Holy Spirit.
Honeymooners, glory to God.
Come Lord. And have your way.
I need what they got.
Speak,
this man of God, let there be long life. Let there be strength. Let there be increased virtue released to all of his people, Lord. Angels surround him and minister to both of them in the name of Jesus. Let their life continue to leave a legacy. They're so wonderful, so awesome. In the name of Jesus.
Holy Spirit,
I offer my life for the service.
Come and have your way.
Faithful. Both of you, faithful.
Move, oh, move, Holy
Spirit. God says you need to hear it. God says you'll love yourself.
Here I am, I'm open. Move, oh, move, Holy
Slacking.
Spirit.
You're limiting.
Come and have your way. Move, oh, move.
You people are just my brothers and sisters. You're so awesome.
Here I am.
Power.
I'm open.
Separation process. There it goes. It's going deep. It's beginning. The Lord is summoning the light out. Righteousness coming forth, overflowing. Overflowing, overflowing.
Here I am, I'm open.
The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we surrender to your separation process. Call the light from the darkness, Lord. Let us walk as children of the light. You said that if we hate our brother, we're still in the dark. Let us renounce and resist hatred, and let us accept love and surrender to God. Let that darkness come out and let us be true vessels of light. Because it is written, in the darkness, they saw a great light shining. And as that great light shined, and you guys are going to the streets, you're that light that's going into the darkness, bringing the truth, the power of God. You are awesome, and you are exactly what God says you are. So rejoice, and remember, when you go home tonight, or in your rearview mirror, look up in that mirror, adjust it, and say, it's good. Yeah. Ah. God says you're good, so agree with him. Amen. Give the Lord a big God bless. Pastor Bob, I want to honor you and your beautiful wife, and thank you for being the awesome pastors you are to Pastor David and myself. God bless you.
Well, let's praise the Lord. Lift your voice to the Lord tonight. Let's thank God for his presence in the house this evening. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Father, we lift up our voices. We praise the name of our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We lift up the name of our Lord and we praise you tonight. Father, we receive the word tonight. Thank you. Thank you that we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We're more than conquerors. Praise God. And the message on this Wednesday night is, if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Yeah, just put a love offering on the platform here. We'll bless our brother tonight. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, what a privilege it is to invest in the kingdom of God, to invest in God's leaders. Hallelujah. Well, just worship the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Here I am, praise I'm open. Speak, Holy Spirit. Come and have your way.
Praise God. Well, let's lift our hands and just praise the Lord tonight. My, 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 my. Hallelujah. Best part about the word tonight, it's true. Father, we just receive the word of God. We receive your messenger tonight. We rejoice in the grace of God that has changed his life and all of our lives. And Father, we thank you that the old things have passed away and all things are become new. Oh, we're growing up spiritually. We're growing stronger every day. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. Everybody said amen. Well, rejoice. Greet about two or three people and just say, we really are new creations in Christ Jesus. Share that tonight.